Well, I think God has something for us today. I don't know how it'll turn out, but I had a message all prepared, and then I prepared something else. Well, I had spoke to the singles Friday, and then when I was like struggling over the message I had already prepared, I was like coming up with thoughts to add to speak more to the singles next week, and I was like, wait a minute, this is for now, this is for us. So, anyway, yeah. Thank you. So, when we first found out about Jesus, how did we find out about Jesus? You know, that the Word of God endures forever, even in little people's lives, right? It doesn't return void, and part of that is it has to do with how we hear. And if we hear like little kids, we really hear. Little kids hear. They hear better than us. We kind of have wax build up in our ears, and we have to put some hot olive oil in there and let it come out. But, it's a true story. But ultimately we heard. We heard something. Even if we read it, we still heard from the Spirit, right? Even if we saw the stars, we still heard. We heard from God. And we didn't just hear, though. We really heard. We actually heard something supernatural. And you can hear to the point where you gain an intellectual understanding. You can hear to the point where you gain an intellectual belief. And James says, even the demons believe and they tremble. You know, I've actually had people say, I believe that, I'm just not ready yet. They're not ready to receive it. They're not ready to accept it for them as the truth, to trust God. So when we heard, we actually heard in a way where we accepted and we put our trust, our faith in God. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the rhema of God. That's like that personal word for you. Like we hear the word, and then we hear a voice, a still small voice behind, talking to us, to our spirit, something deep. And the word has that effect when we're listening, But sometimes we have to think, like, one, what do we hear? What do we hear? We hear a word from God in the Spirit. And then two, how do we hear? How do we hear? Like a little kid with no worries. No worries in the world. That's how we hear. And so how can we even know when God's talking? How do we hear? How can you hear if your heart is consumed with other details? How many people have details in their life? I mean, it could be details like, I can't find a pen I dropped. I mean, it could be details like, oh, the curtain needs to be adjusted. I need to go to the bathroom. It could be details like, his shirt is, the side's not buttoned, you know? I mean, it could be some detail in your mind that's just, how many people have been worshiping and your mind's wandering over here and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, let's worship. You know, like, there's details. There's all these details. And so they could be cares. We have cares about them, cares of the world, these details. They could also be sin. By the way, sometimes we don't think of it, but there's sins that can be a detail in our life that they talk about in the Bible, but we don't really hear. Covetousness, gluttony, things that we don't hear. There's sins, there's pride, there's unforgiveness, and maybe it's a little unforgiveness that's just clogging, there's some wax in my ear, it's just clogging the way. So a little bitterness, murmuring and complaining, a little murmuring, a little complaining can stop us from hearing. Because you can't hear very well when you're talking, right? And also I was thinking too, like old people, background noise really bothers them. I'm only 53. I'm already hearing all this background noise. Like, I can't hear you because they're making noise over there. You got to turn your head toward me and talk. So I can read your lips, or maybe the voice would project this way or something. I don't know, the wind from the car window or something. It's like there's background noise. And this background noise are details. They're details in our life. Sin in our life is a background noise, even demonic background noise that's preventing us from hearing. And so Leviticus 8:23 to 24, we talked about this before, and I don't think about this a lot, but the second time I brought it up already. Moses, God told Moses to take the blood and put it on Aaron's right ear, his thumb and his big toe, and then to do it to Aaron's sons, to all the priests. They got that, but it hit the ear first. The ear was first. They had to hear before they could serve or walk. They had to hear, and we have to hear from God. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed by pure water. So what does hearing have to do with the heart? Everything. The heart and your hearing are so interconnected. And because we were talking about how do we hear, we actually hear with our heart. We hear with our heart. We hear God with our heart. We hear God with our heart. Because God's word, he speaks, and it goes into their hearts, right? Goes into our hearts. The birds of the air snatch it. And I was thinking this. The heart is connected to our spiritual man, and the heart is also connected to our soul man. It's a gate. It's like one of these gates that go like this. You got water coming in, and the gate. Our heart is going to decide if we hear with our soul or if we hear in the spirit. If it's God talking, our heart decides that. And so what is our soul? Well, two aspects of our soul that really affect me and all of you is our mind, our intellect. Our little wheels get spinning. We start thinking about stuff, right? We start thinking subjective thoughts. And Satan can get involved in that too with our mind. Satan can get involved with our emotions too. He can play on it. But our mind can overanalyze things. Our mind can think, be suspicious of people that have nothing against us. Our mind can like do all kinds of things. In our emotions, we can get discouraged. We can get depressed. Or we can like be in sin and get excited or have an adrenaline rush. So some emotional attachment to something that's not good. Right? So, but the spirit is different. If our heart is prepared to hear from God, then we can hear in the spirit, and it's not with our soul. We can get so top-heavy with our soul, and when I say top-heavy, you think of a big head, but it's also your emotions, too, like your belly or kidneys or whatever they call it. And that's why we need to be also spirit taught. We need to hear from people that walk with God. I heard a story one time. It was like a woman that was, she was hearing these compliments at work, and she was getting infatuated with this guy. And so what does she do? She's got two choices. She can go to her friend number one, who's been divorced 3 times and actually isn't walking with God now, and get some advice. Or she can go to her friend number two, who's been divorced 3 times and is walking with God, and get some advice. But she already knows that if she goes to friend number two, she's not going to get the advice she wants. So she goes to friend number one. You know, are you going to listen to somebody that actually has a walk with God? They actually have a walk with God? And so, in a pastor teacher, you want somebody who's spirit-filled, right? You want somebody who's walking with God. Well, pray for me, because I deal with the same top heaviness you do. I have a mind and I have emotions too. And I'm dealing with the same struggles. Like when you pray, add my name to the list. Just add it to whatever you're praying for you, just add me to it. I'm struggling with the same thing you're struggling with. But guess what? I have the same big God that you have, and I hear from the same God. And when we hear, we really hear, the Spirit can speak to us. And if somebody has been hearing from God, you can hear from them. You know? So like when you get counsel, like pay attention to who you're listening to, because you can go to your buddy or your friend who's a Christian who's not walking with God and get some bad advice, right? And so it's important to hear in the Spirit. It says 7 times to the churches in Revelation, which are representative of every church, right? They're representative of every church. It says 7 times. He who has an ear, let him hear. You got to hear. And what are you hearing? What the Spirit says. You're hearing what the Spirit says. You're not hearing the letter, but the Spirit. And so listen. You got to listen to hear. And how do I listen with an undivided heart? Well, God wants it all. God wants your heart. He wants it all. But we have some problems. And if you ever studied or preached through this part of Revelation, you realize it's kind of hard. It's like you got this problem, you got this problem. It's kind of hard. And like, so we have some problems. One is demonic attack. It's so important that we hide the word in our heart. It's so important. Like when Jesus was under demonic attack, right? The 40 days of fasting, he was under temptation. What did he do? He said, it is written, right? And he had the word in his heart. He had the word. He is the living word, obviously. But if we have the word in our heart, we can deal with the demonic attack. And I was thinking of this, a song. It just came to my mind. The enemy, he has to flee at the sound of your great name. You know that song? It's like awesome. Like it's not just some hocus pocus, but it's like when we really believe who God is, the enemy does have to flee at the sound of his great name. And so we worship him for who he is. We worship him for who he is. We cry out his name. We proclaim by faith who he is, and his word is true. It's an act of faith. And so sometimes we do it to ourselves. We talk to ourselves. We should talk to ourselves. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. My mind and my emotions, bless the Lord. But what else? And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Everything in me, bless the Lord. Like, talk to yourself. And one time, Pastor Leitze, he died. He was like this 80-year-old guy, tattooed up. He amazing testimony. He had been a heroin addict, spent time in Leavenworth, pretended to be a Jew in Leavenworth so he could get good food and all this. And amazing guy. But he found Jesus, and he had this ministry to addicts and all. And he came to speak, and before he speak, he sang this song in the most terrible voice, but the most beautiful spirit. He just cried out to God, said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know, it's like there's something to that, like self. You bless the Lord. And how about this, Psalm 42:5. Why so downcast, O my soul? He's talking to himself again. Why are you downcast? Put your hope in God. Hey, self, put your hope in God. Hope in God. And so this is awesome. It's like, so we have these projections from demonic attacks telling us, don't hope in God. Don't hope in God. They're telling us lies, right? And we say, put your hope in God. And So what are we doing when we do, when we're doing that? We have these thoughts, these evil thoughts, like the sky is falling, like Chicken Little or something, and then we say, put your hope in God, to ourselves. We're submitting to God's thoughts on the matter. Our emotions want to go one way, or our mind want to go. Our mind can say, like Jacob, all these things are against me, right? But really, Joseph is being raised up to deliver to Israel, and Jacob saying, all these things are against me. Our mind can say this, and we can rationalize it too. We can say, this is against me, this is against me, this is against me. We can make lists, and we can go over them and over them and over them, and Satan will be loving it, like, yeah, yeah, encouraging us to do that. And or we can think with thoughts of God and say, put your hope in God. Our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is not in things. Our hope is not in circumstance. Our hope is in God, in God alone. And so when we do that, we're actually submitting to God. We're submitting to God. James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He'll flee from you. If you submit to God, you take your mind and your emotions and you give them to God. And now you can hear clearly. But demons are subtle. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed that. Sometimes they're not so subtle, but oftentimes they're very subtle. Like the serpent was more subtle than any other creature. Very subtle. So a demon, and we need to learn to recognize them too. We need to learn to recognize them. And they can make you seem like you're in a fog when you hear. Like a fog, like it's kind of fuzzy. Or maybe you're even sleepy, like you're fighting it. As soon as the message is over, you're not sleepy anymore. It's a demonic attack can come on and bring this in your mind. And we need to recognize it and be like, and resist it. Submit to God and be like, no, I'm listening. Shake it off and hear. And so this is how it can be. And they can bring in distracting thoughts. Distracting thoughts. It's like, where are these thoughts coming from? My mind is just drifting. I'm trying to read the Bible. I got to read that chapter 5 times to figure out what I just read, because I was reading, and even though I was reading, I was thinking something else. It's like they come in with distractions. He's subtle. You don't think it's him. You know, he's playing on things that are your everyday life things, and distracting. Or can come in with something that's contrary to the word or a lie. So you hear the word, and then Satan says, is that so? Did God really say that? And comes in with some nuance or some little, or like, he didn't really mean it that way. He meant it this bad way. So then you're not hearing it. You know, you're not hearing what the Spirit's saying. You're hearing some other thing that you might take offense at. And finally, like with this demonic things, there's strength in the body. We need each other's faith. We build each other up. And, you know, I forget the numbers. Maybe somebody remembers the numbers, but in the Old Testament, it talks about so many will cause so many to flee, and then so many more will cause, like, exponential numbers to flee. You remember the numbers to that? It's like 500, and then 110,000 or something. It's like exponential. Like, and when we get around the body, there's this fleeing that happens. When we worship God, there's like these faith fields, and there's a protection in that. There's a protection in the body. And I'll just go here. So the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, who comes and tries to take the word away from you? Who comes and tries? When they hear, Satan comes. Satan can come and change the subject. You heard something? Maybe you're trying to meditate on it? And the subject gets changed. I was saying the other day, there's always a distraction. Like, last week, when Grace and I were witnessing to these people, and then this other girl came up to distract us. And it a lot of times when God's moving, somebody, even we can be used as a distraction. You know, us as believers, if you walk up and you sense a conversation like you just interrupted something that's really supernatural, you can either sense I can enter into this or I should leave. Like, be sensitive to that. Like, leave and let the conversation continue. Don't go up and just distract, because Satan will use us too. He'll put this thought in our head. Go say this to them, which is something totally not on the subject of what they're talking about, and they're deep in a spiritual conversation, right? And so that happens to us too. So he comes immediately with these distractions, with other thoughts. We need to recognize it too. Wait a minute, I was thinking about that. I don't need to be thinking about it's time to go to the bathroom or adjust the blinds. I need to be thinking about what I was thinking about. And so how about a stony heart? Have a hard time hearing the word. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. It's Christ in us. You know, we have to put off the old man and put on the new. We have the new heart. We have a heart that has the capability of hearing everything that God has for us, and it's the heart of Christ. We have his heart. And so, like, we need to live in that. So back to unforgiveness, murmuring, complaining, and I was thinking about this too. We talked about it in the singles group. Unforgiveness, you know, like, don't let a root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, by which many become defiled, Hebrews 12:15. So this bitterness can spring up, and it can come in the form of unforgiveness, but it can also come in the form of just negative thoughts and maybe a bitterness toward God. You can't have unforgiveness toward God, because God doesn't need forgiveness, right? Because he hasn't done anything wrong. And actually, some people could be in the same position, haven't done anything wrong, and you just think they have. And maybe you just need to let go of the bitterness. So, murmuring, complaining, unforgiveness, this is something we have to do. We need to forgive other people as Christ has already forgiven us. And so I was on the phone. Pastor Julian called me yesterday. And normally when the Holy Spirit gives me something, I just keep it. It's mine. If I say it, it doesn't matter where it came from, a book, another pastor, whatever. But since it's so recent and fresh, I'm going to quote him. He said, I forgive based on what Jesus did on the cross forever. Our sins are forgiven forever. So we need to forgive people forever. And I would add to that, and when it resurfaces, remind yourself. Forgive them again. Like, sometimes we have to do it, and Satan will bring it back, right? And we forgive them again. We've already decided. It's a decision, too. We can decide in advance, whatever anybody does to us, we're going to forgive them. How about that? We decide that this is the word of God, right? So whatever anybody does to us, we're going to forgive them. And I told my wife when we got married, if you cheat on me, I'm going to forgive you. It gives her freedom, right? But, you know, just because we have this freedom of grace gives us a license to sin. No, it doesn't. It gives us freedom, but we'll realize pretty quick that it's miserable to live in sin, right? We have the freedom, but living in sin isn't fun. It's miserable. This is what Pastor Julian said. If I cannot forgive, I'm placing myself higher than God. I was like, whoa, that's pretty deep. Like, because God's heart is to forgive. And God forgives them. Why can't I forgive them? Right? So I'm like, wow. And then I would add, and that's what Satan did. He placed himself higher than God. Right? All those I ams, he placed himself higher than God. And we have to accept God's plan. And sometimes God's plan ain't our plan. Can you imagine Joseph accepting God's plan? Joseph thrown into a pit and betrayed by all his brothers, his own family. I mean, talk about throwing a pity party and getting depressed. My own family, all of them, sold me into slavery. He threw me in the pit and sold me into slavery. And now look what happens. I'm in prison. I didn't do anything wrong. I've been dealt a raw blow. We won't use the words to describe what we did in singles group. Something to do with manure, but I've been dealt a raw blow, right? Just like, this is not right. And you can get very bitter, but God had a plan. God had a promise. We live by the promise, right? We live by the promise. God had a plan that was bigger. And God has a plan for your life that's bigger. It's bigger than your circumstances. It's bigger than the raw blows. It's bigger than our circumstances. His plan is bigger. And we need to accept that. God says, all things are for your sake. He says, all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's God's word. That's God's plan. God has a plan. I don't know what it is. Can you imagine like preaching the word and getting thrown in prison for 15 years because you were preaching the word? Or you go as a missionary somewhere and your wife and kid dies? You know, there are people that have been dealt a lot rawer blows than we have, and yet there's stories about that where they became really bitter, but then they found out later that that sacrifice actually had fruit later on, because the Bible says he who goes forth weeping bearing seeds for sowing will doubtless come again with rejoicing bearing his sheaves, right? So like there will be fruit. God's word does not return void. It doesn't matter what we see. Things happen that are longer and bigger and higher than what we can see. And so the new heart of flesh, trust God with your burdens. Trust God in all this. All things are for your sake. And we have to believe that he's for us. He's for us. And so listen carefully. How many times do we come to church and have cares? Trivial cares sometimes compared to hearing from God. But details of life, relatives, work, health, those aren't trivial, but yet they're cares. We care about these things, but those cares can be a distraction to us hearing. And I was thinking about just something trivial, nagging that we got to get done. We got to get this tree down. We got to get a roof on the house. We got to, just something nagging at us. It could be little. It's just nagging at us. We're thinking about that instead of listening to God. It's like cares. And sometimes insignificant details. Lunch and football, a video game. We're going to go buy something. You know, some care. You know, it's a care. Or how about good things? Really good cares. Martha, you know, I don't know how many times it's like this, something happened to somebody and I said something like, yeah, we need to slow down, but we also need to get things done. So God help us. Like, how do you balance that, right? And so you invite somebody new to church and you come and they haven't showed up yet, but you want to greet them when they come. But you want to worship. So you have this care that's kind of like Martha. But it's a good care, right? But maybe God is leading you to worship. And just not worry about that. Leave it in his hands. And God will greet them when they come. You know, it's like, or maybe God would have you leave the 99 and go out there, wait for them, greet them. I'm not saying don't greet them. I'm just saying be sensitive to the Spirit and walk with God. And don't worry about other cares other than where he is leading you. And riches, we worry about money. We worry about getting more money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And the cares and riches choke out the word. What do we have to do to hear in such a way that there's a reproduction of the word, sometimes 100-fold? Now, who invests? Like they have this, was it compound interest? And I guess Will's a good guy to talk about this, but like is 100-fold, is that a good investment? Yeah. You think you could find an investment like that? And you put it in a place where thieves can't steal it, moths and rust can't destroy it, And inflation can't touch it. Is that a pretty good investment? It maintains its value, and it's 100-fold. 100-fold. Like, wow. So what do we have to do to hear like that? Bam! Give it to him. Just throw it on God and listen. Just give it to God. Cast all your cares on God. Don't worry about that. Don't think about that. Just listen to God. Just listen to God. And even, like, think about that return. Even if we just hear a couple seeds during a message, if we're, like, really focused a couple times. And I've noticed that, too. Some people that can be pushy, annoying, opinionated, whatever, can actually be the best hearers, too. Or some people that are depressed or, you know, have all these other problems, when they hear, they get that one seed, and they're like, and you can actually, like, tell they are listening and absorbing something. It's like, wow. Like Jesus said when the lady touched the robe, power has gone out of me. You know, it's like, they're getting something out of this. And it's like, but imagine if we could hear like that all the time. Imagine. And we can't, because we're living in this fallen world. But we can cast our cares upon him, and we can trust him, and hear with the new heart. And a lot of times we think of this parable, it applies to unbelievers, right? Like when you tell the gospel, but actually it does. It's a principle of God, you know, of what happens with the word. It's a seed. But Jesus turns to his disciples and starts telling them about a lamp. And don't hide your lamp. Like, have you heard? Don't hide your lamp. Mark 4:23-24, if anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, referring to his disciples, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. That's like 100-fold, you know, like 30, 60, 100, like you get more. If you hear, you get more. It grows. And the one sown on good ground, that good ground, that's our heart. That's our heart. Our heart. Those who hear the word, and we talked about this a little bit, and accept it. Not intellectually understand it, not intellectually believe it, but accept it. Receive it for yourself. It's your word. The Holy Spirit gave you something, you know? Like, I can quote Pastor Julian, but God told me when he said it, God told me, you put yourself higher than God if you can't forgive. You know, like God told me that. And like, when God gives you something, it's yours. It's yours. You accept it. You receive it. And then it just grows. You go to sleep and it grows. You don't really have to do anything. Once you hear the word, it grows. And then I was thinking of this. I forget. I heard something on the radio. It was somebody's favorite verse. I want to say D.L. Moody, but I could be wrong. When you hear the Spirit, a lot of times there's an echo. Or you'll hear it, and you'll learn it 50 years ago. God will teach you something. And then you hear it again later. 50 years later, you'll hear it again. It says Psalm 62:8. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this. That power belongs to God. Yeah. Amen. So hearing is very important. We need to hear, not just listen, but hear. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Pray that we can hear. We can just cast our cares upon you. We can hide the word in our heart. We can hear. If there's anyone here that maybe heard something today and they've never received Christ as their Savior, just accept it. Receive forgiveness of your sins based on what Jesus did on the cross. Receive it and accept it for you. Just cry out to God. Call on the name of the Lord. Say, forgive me. I believe in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.